The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Actually, what I have prepared today, I did prepare something. Isn't that good? But really, what I prepared today is, what does it mean for running a church service that looks decently and in order? And I don't know, you know, maybe for me, I've been just kind of standing back and observing, because there's something in me that, you know, we've developed a church culture. Living Waters Church. We're trying to break free of a church culture, and let me explain what I mean by that. There's a church culture. We have developed a pattern of behavior that becomes very familiar, very predictable, kind of works the same way because it worked last time. And most of us like familiar, right? We like familiar. We like to know what's going to be happening next, and especially if you're supposed to be in charge of something. It's like, come on, you know? I guess I learned a long time ago that... I'm learning. What would it look like if Holy Spirit really had control of a service? What would it look like if we could move from church culture into a kingdom culture where everything that we do is centered around the person of Jesus? Where Holy Spirit is really given a liberty to move and to do things and to upset our apple carts. And what if the Father could really proclaim some things and see them come to pass? I mean, what if we could be a people that could find that place? If we could be a people that we come together, that we could encounter God in such a significant place that when we leave this place, we'd be absolutely changed, different. What if Holy Spirit had a freedom to move among us in such a way that we each have our own encounters, you know, wherever we're at in the service, where we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that radically changes us, that moves us, and then somehow out of the change, out of us individually, it becomes a corporate atmosphere and change. You know, why do we come together? why do we gather Sunday after Sunday? I'm just afraid that the old reasons aren't good enough for me anymore. We have got to see the face of Jesus. We have got to experience Holy Spirit. We have got to come into a presence that we know, that we know, that we know, that we've encountered a living God. You know, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it said, go into Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Why? So that you can become witnesses to me. What does it mean to be a witness? A witness has got to carry some evidence. You know, in the courtroom of our God, I saw a vision one time of the sanctuary, and it became a courtroom. And the King of Kings was on the throne, and people were brought in that were bound in shackles and chains. And just one word from the throne, innocent, a declaration of innocence, shattered all of those chains, all of those shackles. It just broke them. But I tell you, there's got to be an evidence that the King is on the throne. There's got to be a better way that we come together. I'm glad for what we have. Please hear my heart. I I'm not one that just bashes the past for the sake of bashing the past. I'm so grateful. You don't know how much I appreciate what God has done, and what I, you know, what I see in you, and you know, I have such a joy in my heart for the way you all conducted yourselves this morning. I mean, did you? Again, I was observing some things. But if you follow all of the words that came forward, they were all about glorifying Jesus, and they all carried a similar thread. And we've had a message preached here this morning through 6 or 7 different voices. I've got them all written down. There's probably 7 or 8 different voices that spoke a message out. Now, what's that got to do with Decently in Order? I mean, I thought Decently in Order is you come and you sing a few songs, you get lost in the presence, you take an offering, and then you have the man preach a message. It's not what I see in the book. What I see in the book could really get messy. And it could be dangerous. I'm telling you, if you do it the way it's done in the book, we may need to bring some correction to some things. It's scary to lose control when you're supposed to be in control of something. Are you hearing my heart? I don't know if you've looked around lately at the world, but I had something happen a week and a half ago that just torqued me off, if I could put it mildly. Just let me think about how I can tell the story without... There's somebody that I know that we've been praying for a long time for a job. Long, long time. And he's had some real needs. And there's no reason the man shouldn't get a job. He's very capable. And so we're praying and we're just not getting the breakthrough. We're not seeing the answers. You know what I mean? I know what we're going for is in God's heart and in God's will, and I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. And here's what irked me about it is that a friend of his went to a palm reader. She's not a believer. Went to a palm reader, and through this palm reader, the palm reader identified this man, this friend of mine. And said, 2 weeks, I'll have a job. And things are happening that he's going to be getting a job. Now, that torques me off. That really ticks me off that a demonized woman who can pull in the spiritual realm, you know, through familiar spirits, through demonic spirits, you say, well, how could she have known that? Well, I tell you, the spirit realm knows it. And all it takes is for a woman who's demonized to be able to connect with the spirit realm. This is real, guys. We are living in a spiritual realm. And everything that pertains to life and godliness belongs to you and to me. Sarah got up last week and spoke about a survivor mentality. You know, the church has just been in a survivor mode. I mean, as long as we can kind of make things look good on the outside, and if I can keep from sinning, and if I can keep from disgracing the name of God. See, but there's more. There is this thing of living a life of risk that goes after some things in the spirit to change lives around us. You carry the word of the Lord that will set somebody free. You carry the word of the Lord that will set a co-laborer free. You carry the miracle that somebody who's sick needs. See, and there's something about the way we want to come together and keep doing the same old things and then expect a different outcome. That's crazy. And I'm not bashing the past. I'm grateful. You come from glory. There's a process where you come from glory to glory to glory to glory. And there's one level of faith and glory that you need to possess before you can get on to the next level. You hear what I'm saying? So please, this is not beating anybody up. It's not beating you up. It's not beating me up. If any of the words today came that made you feel like, I just got to work harder. You know, God's displeased with me. God's shook up at me. That just isn't true. Thursday, we had an intercession. We intercede for you on Thursdays here. It's a good time. But there was a vision of the tall, like Bermuda grass right out here. And in the Bermuda grass, there was a lion laying. And the lion just looked very pleased. God is pleased with you. He's not shook up with you. He's not disappointed with you. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't want you to stay where you're at either. Because this life in Christ is a journey. It's a moving from faith to faith, from glory to glory. There's always a pressing in. There's always a going forward. There's always a something so that we can apprehend that for which we've been apprehended, that we can lay hold of that for which we've been laid hold of. So that we can carry a glory in a greater dimension tomorrow than we did today. I believe there's times coming where the glory is going to be on his people. And he spoke it this morning. He spoke it for a reason, that we're carriers of his glory. I believe there's a time coming where people are going to start to tremble and shake around you. Amen. Because you carry a glory. How much can you give yourself to this glory? Susie and I were talking about it last night. The level to which we can carry the glory is the level to which we die. Sorry about the good news. But that's one of the principles in the kingdom, that we will, you know, if we are continuing after our own agendas, if we're continuing after pursuing the same thing that everybody else pursues, and I'm talking the church as well as the world, if we're continuing to pursue those things, we'll never lay hold of that for which God has uniquely called us and what God has uniquely called each one of you to lay hold of for the greater glory. Dying ain't easy, is it? I found like there's levels of glory, there's also levels of death. And if you ever think that you've achieved death, I got news for you. I want to look this morning into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, we'll take an offer. You were missing. Where were you when I announced that we'd take it later? Yeah, we'll take it later, honey. I'm sorry. She usually doesn't miss a thing, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is to me what we experienced this morning. This is what was modeled this morning. This is what was demonstrated in a measure. I believe that we're going to see some things in the days to come that are just going to shift the way we come together on a Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you that you're all part of it. There isn't a spectator in the house, okay? That doesn't mean that everybody will be up front prophesying, talking. It doesn't mean that at all. But I'll tell you what, you can be an active part of what we're doing by the way you posture your heart when you come through these doors. You can be an active part of what happens in this place by the posturing of your heart during worship, by the purposing in your heart to pursue Him and Him alone. You know, if you're still coming and it's about the people that are on the worship team or about the person that's preaching, can I just encourage you? You got your eyes in the wrong place. I want to be a house where people corporately come together with a passion to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? That's my challenge to you as a body. That when you come through these doors, there's a uniqueness about a corporate gathering that can't be duplicated when you're by yourself. And I want to learn what the fullness of that looks like. I want to see what that looks like. I want to understand what is this coming together of the saints and what kind of power can be released in the coming together of the saints. I want to know what it looks like. I don't want to just read about it. First Corinthians chapter 14. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you had prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interpret, that the church may receive edification. Five verses, I don't know, must be five times there where you heard the word edification, edifies, he who edifies. You edify yourself by speaking in tongues. If you don't live in the gift of tongues, if you don't have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life of tongues, and you know, you've just heard people say, well, it's just some people have the gift, some people don't have the gift. Can I please just encourage you that it's just a manifestation of Holy Spirit. In fact, I don't like to use the word gifts. If you see where in both 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and here, the word gifts is in it's italicized. That means that whoever translated put that in there for what they thought was clarifying. I think it messes it up because it has a connotation that unless you've got this gift, you can't speak in tongues. Unless you have this gift, you can't discern spirits. Unless you have this gift, and really, if you read it in context, I don't have time to go there. I've taught on it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's really talking about a manifestation of the Spirit. I encourage you, brethren, to be spiritual. You who are spiritual. It's not spiritual gifts necessarily. Pursue spiritual, desire spirituality. Desire the supernatural is a good translation there. Pursue love. Desire the supernatural. Why? Because in the supernatural, when we're living supernaturally, how many know that the manifestation isn't something you work up or you say, okay, now I've got this gift and I've got to perform. When you have the manifestation of him who lives in you, it comes out and the word speaks for itself. The action speaks for itself. The gift, if you will, speaks for itself. Right? So we're pursuing being a spiritual people. We're pursuing being a supernatural people, a people who walk in a supernatural ability, something beyond what's just humanly possible. This isn't a pipe dream. This is reality. In fact, it was such a reality in the first century Christian church that Paul had to write most of the first, up till this point, he had to write all the way up to chapter 15 about setting things in order. Why? Because they got a hold of this power thing and this supernatural thing and they didn't know how to handle it. They were experiencing a freedom that they had never experienced before, and now Paul is teaching them how to manage freedom. How to live in freedom. See, freedom will always, always, always be managed by love. You can walk in supernatural empowerment. It says a little bit later on that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. There are times where God gives you a word and you need to step back and hold it. Why? Because of love. Because you understand that somebody isn't ready for it yet. You may need to be interceding. See, if love governs that, if just the gifts and something that a pressure from outside says that you got it, you better speak it, you better go with it, you got to proclaim it. If that's the motivation, I'll tell you what, you're going to mess up. You're going to hurt people, you're going to hurt yourself. But if love, if the love of God, if the love of Christ is always at the foundation of everything that we do, you can't go wrong. It's love that governs freedom. Now, many of you know, I love freedom, right? I mean, For me, I could have stayed lost today. And I really had to fight. I felt like this is what God wanted me to do. Am I infallible? No, it's just the Pope is infallible. So, you know. No, I really, you know what I mean? See, walking in the Spirit, there's always this tension that happens between me being lost and me being no good to anybody else, or me being engaged in the Spirit for the profit of all. And there are times, believe me, I'd rather be lost in the Spirit than talk to you guys. Please don't be offended. It's just, I'm so grateful for people that can keep me anchored, you know, and keep me down to earth. I mean, I need people around me like that. But really, what we're talking here about is, you know, pursue love. Love is, that's the thing that we're chasing after. And the other thing that we're looking when we come together is what we're saying, what we're speaking, is it edifying? Is it building up? Is it constructing something as a body of Christ and in the building up of the body of Christ? All of the words today, they were all edifying. They came in many different forms. One was a testimony. Another was a prophetic word. Another was a psalm. Another was a teaching. Kind of like what it says. Well, we'll go down here into verse 26 in a minute. But did you see how it came in so many different ways through so many different voices? Did you see the dance with the Holy Spirit that was going on? Did you see the beauty that was being released? But in all of these things, the goal of our coming together is that so that we can be built up. You know, the last thing that I want you to think is that you got to come to church to get somebody saved. You know, there's a lot of churches function with that. Bring somebody to church, they'll get saved. If you bring them to this church, I don't usually even offer salvation. Why? Because I trust you to lead people to Jesus. If you can bring them to church, then you can lead them to Christ. Right? Is there anybody here that's not qualified to lead somebody to Jesus? Then don't try to pawn it off on me. Sorry to be frank, but I tell you what, for me to keep my eyes on that is going to keep me away from what God has really called us to do. What God has called this house to do is to train people in the things of the Spirit, to train things in moving in the Spirit so that demons can be cast out, so that people can be undone by a prophetic word, so that people can receive healing, so that the kingdom of God is preached with power. There has got to be a restoration of this gospel of power, the gospel of the kingdom that carries power. I'll tell you, that's what I'm passionate about. That's what I've got to go for. Now, will people get saved in that? Absolutely. I tell you what, you pray for somebody with a broken leg and they get saved and they get healed, I guarantee you they're open to the gospel. You know, but that work isn't necessarily supposed to be done in here. What we do when we come together is we build each other up. And that's going to happen. It happens through the worship. It's happening through the preaching. It's going to happen when we say the final amen and you start to fellowship with one another and you have a cup of coffee. I see pockets of people praying together all the time. You know, you guys don't get out of here till an hour after the service is done. It's like, if you're the guy closing up, it's like, you know, hanging out. And I love it. Because there's as much that's done with you praying over one another, with you loving on one another, there's as much done with a smile and a handshake or an arm around or a prayer as is done in the preaching. Because maybe somebody doesn't need to hear what I'm preaching today, but they do need to hear your love. They do need to know your prayer. See, this thing is so much bigger than what we've allowed it to be. And I want to encourage you that you don't come here on a Sunday morning as a spectator. You come here for one purpose. Well, more than one purpose. One of the main purposes that you come is to build up your brothers and sisters, to do something that edifies somebody around you, that builds the character of Christ in them, that builds hope in them, that builds a strength for hope for the future, that brings encouragement into somebody's life, that maybe brings some comfort to somebody that's down. Maybe you've got $10 in your pocket that somebody desperately needs. There are so many ways that you can build the body of Christ up. And to think that it's all centered around a preaching of a message and some tunes. I love the preaching of the message. I love the tunes. There's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, the presence of Jesus is much bigger. And he's in the groups that are meeting here and the groups that are meeting there. Edification, building up of one another is why we're coming together. Why? So that there's evidence so that you can be a witness. How many want some evidence in your life? So that you can be a witness when you leave this place. See, I want to have a place where there's evidence of the risen Jesus Christ. One of the things that I make statement time and time and time again is that we believe we have a very encounterable God. You know, there were times past where we were taught, well, don't function by your emotions. You know what? My word says, love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means my emotions. I can love God with my emotions. I can love God with my intellect. Some people have way more intellect than I do, and you can love God with your intellect. See, the stuff that we've made this, because we don't understand and we're scared of freedom, we're scared of what it means to walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, one thing I found is Holy Spirit is uncontrollable. He will submit, but he won't be controlled. And that's a scary thought. He will submit to my saying no. That's a scary thought. But he will not be controlled. He will not. Okay, Holy Spirit, I want you to do it this way. Would you just back it up, line up? How stupid is that? But we do that, don't we? Edification through love manages our freedom. How is it then? Let's go down to verse 26. Oh boy, I got a lot of things to cover. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching. We heard both of those. We did not hear a tongue. By the way, there is, for those of you that maybe don't understand why I can pray in tongues up here when this word seems to say that it doesn't, can I just say that when I'm singing in tongues, I'm worshiping, and that's between me and God. There's a difference when I prophesy in tongues. That needs an interpretation. When I'm addressing you as the body and I'm speaking in tongues, that requires an interpretation, okay? But when I'm worshiping, man, I tell you, I sing in the Spirit and I sing in English. I sing both ways. And if you just happen to hear it, bless you. Bless you, really. But I'm not singing to you. And I'm not singing for you. That's between me and God. That's why we allow, Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. It's not illegal to speak in tongues with somebody else hearing you. Now, if I come to Casey and I start rattling off in tongues, a prophetic word doesn't mean anything to him, and it won't mean anything to me. Is he edified? Is he built up? According to the word, no. He says, let there be an understanding of what's spoken, because even anything that we do has to be interpreted to be understood, doesn't it? In order for us to be built up and to be edified. Has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. There it is again. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let's go down, because I'm just going to have to skip through a little bit. One of the other things that I want to talk about in this thing of order, it says, let the prophet speak two or three at the most. We had 6 or 7 voices this morning, didn't we? Did we miss it? I don't think so. Not everybody prophesied. Some people had a psalm, some had a teaching, some had a testimony. There were different voices. Now, a prophetic thing is going to release a bit more of a mystery that we've got to step back and say, whoa, wait a minute, what does this mean? Let's uncover this thing. Let's discover what this mystery is about. There's a word that comes forth many, many times in this house and many times through Casey, and it's all about the love of God. And I'll tell you what, I can never, ever, ever tire hearing about the love of God. I mean, if I don't tell my wife I love her at least once a day, many times more than that, I've missed it. And why do we think when we come together in a gathering that we got to quit hearing about the love of God? That he loves you. See, and we hear it prophetically, and we hear there are just so many different ways that Holy Spirit speaks, and this dance in edifying, in building up the body of Christ moves back and forth. I really want to get down to, at least for now, I'm skipping over so much. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for women to speak in church. Okay. A lot of people stumble over that. Stumble over that scripture. You know, if you're reading this as a law, you will. But if the law of love supersedes even the written law, then you're going to have a different understanding. There are cultural differences. In the first century church, it would have been improper for a woman to speak because of the cultural dynamics that were in play there. Do you know that when I went to Mexico and we ministered in the mountains, I was told that you'll never look a woman in the eye because they'll think you're coming on to them. I was told that if you don't lay hands on their shoulders, they'd rather have you lay hands on their breasts than their shoulders when you pray for them. Okay? It's a cultural thing. So if I was writing a letter to you, like Paul did to the Corinthians, I would say, hey guys, don't lay your hands on a woman's shoulder. Don't look the woman straight in the eye when you're praying for them. Why? Because culturally they're going to misunderstand it. And that's what's happening here. I tell you what, I am longing to see women free in the fullness of what God has called them to be. God had to create men, had to create humans, both male and female, to rightly represent his heart, who he is. And I tell you, the church for too long has kept women under a thumb, saying, no, don't you see what the word says? Don't you know that you shouldn't cut your hair? Don't you know you got to wear a hat? See, those are cultural things, and cultural things shift and change. Oh, does that mean that God didn't know that that was going to change? No. He's laying a precedence here that we honor the culture that we go in. I will live differently for the sake of love in Thailand than I do here. And I'll function differently in Mexico for the sake of love than I do here. In fact, I'll go into a different church that doesn't look like us, and I'll live differently for the sake of love. Why? Because I honor culture. Because for me, it's not about the gifts. It's not about any of those things. It's not even about my freedom. It's really about love. It's how can I have an impartation of love into somebody else's life? So be aware of your cultural settings. How many of we have a different culture here than you have in California or Louisiana or North Carolina. And we have to be aware that some of the things that we have in the way of freedom that we take for granted will be an offense other places. In Ukraine, I get offended by some of the things they do. And I just have to get over it because I have to understand that there's a cultural dynamic over there that I don't get. See? So I want to encourage you, if you're a woman and if this verse has ever harassed you, or men, if you've ever felt like you got to hold a woman down because of this verse, can I just tell you, please, in the spirit of love, in the spirit of honor and respect for who God has created women to be, just let it go. Let it go. See, I don't want to be a first century church. At one time I thought, oh, we just got to be a first century church. I don't want to be a first century church. I want to be a 21st century church that moves in a power and in a glory in the way that a 21st century has to move. Oh, I long to see some of the power and some of the dynamics of the first century church in our lives, but I'll tell you, God's got bigger plans for the 21st century church than he did for the first century church. I believe that. Amen. There's a principle. He always saves the best for last. How many know we're kind of getting toward the end of this thing? You know? And I believe that there is a power and there's an authority and there's a liberty and there's a freedom that is going to be unmistakable in the people of God. That's going to cause people to hunger and to thirst for what we have. It'll offend some, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, there are some that it's just going to draw them like flies to, you know. You guys almost missed that. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. There's a couple of other things that I just want to talk about briefly because I love freedom and I love every dynamic of worship. I love the dance. I tell you, that watching the dance this morning, it spoke to me. You know, and watching the flagging, it spoke to me. It just did something to me. I just love every dynamic of worship. I'm not a dancer. I'm not a flagger necessarily. You know, but and the kids coloring crayons, you know, just about the time you think that they're just playing and being entertained, all of a sudden somebody will bring me a picture and show, look what so-and-so drew. And it's phenomenal. I mean, they are experiencing creativity as they're drawing. How many know that I would rather have my kids having fun in church than sitting and being still and having to, you know, I mean, come on. What? Jesus didn't get scared away by kids, you know? What? Why do we do that to kids? And you wonder why they rebel. You wonder why they run away from the church. So there are a lot of things that I just really love and I really, really appreciate. But along with those freedoms, there's also some things that for the sake of love that we want to have some responsibility in those things. And I just need to talk probably a little bit frankly about some of those things. You know, with the dance, can I just encourage, especially ladies, that if you're dancing, to wear stuff that's long enough, wear stuff that's high enough, wear stuff that's loose enough, and wear stuff that's opaque enough, you know, where you can't see through. I was told, you know, I get lost in worship. I don't see a thing. I got to have people around me telling me what's going on. But I was told that, you know, there was a time here that somebody was dancing, and the person said, I could tell you the style and the color of her underwear. Now, he wasn't looking for it, but I tell you, when you're dancing, you are up front and center. Right? Is this too?
Keep going.
Is this all right? You know, and please, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm glad I got my eyes closed because I don't have anybody in mind. So if you think I'm talking about you, it's not me talking about you. It might be Holy Spirit trying to do so. I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't, I don't see this stuff. But I do know this. I know that when you're up front and center, that you need to be very, very careful because of the sake of love, that you're wearing some attire that isn't going to cause your brothers to have issues. You say, well, it's the brother's issue. Well, not always. God has created us guys in a particular way, many of us. And yes, when we're created in that way and it goes off into steroids and becomes something really weird, yeah, we need to deal with that. But you know what? This should be the safest place on the planet for somebody to deal with that stuff. Right? I mean, just because us guys are sitting here doesn't mean that we've got it all mastered. Ladies, news break, we're in a process. You know, so just be, because of love, for the sake of love, for the sake of edification, keep dancing. Keep going for it. I love it. But just be aware that some of what you're doing may cause a stumbling block. Okay? With the flaggers, I love the flaggers. I so appreciated what you shared about the flaggers this morning. And you know what? We're going to... I was supposed to do it, but I forgot. We're going to actually open up a couple of the outside chairs here so that we've got more space because we've been finding that it gets pretty crowded. But I want to encourage you, you know, we've got some large flags. I love the large flags. But we got to be careful. We've got equipment. We've got, you know, expensive equipment. And if you're with a large flag and if you're standing about here, probably two-thirds of the congregation can't see the words on the screen. So just be aware that, you know, if I've got this thing, can my brothers and sisters see what's going on up there? You may need to stand off to the side a little bit. Definitely watch out for this stuff. Flagging with kids. And color crayons. And coloring. You know, because your kids have freedom, Parents, you're responsible to help your children manage freedom. Because your kids are up here, it's not, you know, Leslie's sitting there, and therefore she can be the cop. Or better yet, Henry. Henry would make a better cop. You know, no, they are not policemen for your children. Okay? What's that? Oh, you're volunteering. No, but you know, if you see your child sword fighting with a flag, would you please help your child manage that freedom? You know, help your child to learn what it is to love and to have honor and respect for God and for others in the house. If you've got, a cry or a noise from a child has never scared anybody away, but if you've got a couple of children that are out here somewhere and they're talking incessantly, even if they're teenage, like my daughters, and they're chatting back there, for the sake of love, really, for the sake, oh yeah, who, me? Really, for the sake of love, for the sake of love and edification for others, see, we can take this freedom thing and put it on steroids, and what is meant to be really a wonderful experience can detract from what God wants to do in the edification for the body, right? So parents, just be aware of your children and allow them freedom, but help them to manage that freedom in a way that it builds the body. I tell you what, I get built up when I see kids flagging. I have seen some of these kids just like warriors going with flags. I've seen them just gracefully with worship doing flags. I get built up when I see that. I love Judy, the way Judy flags. I love it. I get built up. It inspires worship in me. Okay? So while we're doing these things, just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware. Am I blocking off something that somebody else can see? Is it getting too crowded? Can I maybe move to the side or to the back? Just be aware. Just in terms of loving one another, be very aware. We talked a little bit about prophecy. There's some things about the prophetic word. Ushers, you're going to be taking an offering here. Why don't you get ready, and we'll just kind of move in with that. I want to bless you guys. Just thank you. Do you know last week that you gave over $4,000 to True Hope Ministries? Wow. Yeah. Way to go. In fact, the offering for True Hope almost matched what we got for the house. Now, that's a little bit hard because we still have to pay bills. We still got to pay light bills and stuff, you know. But thank you for being generous. Ushers, come on up. I'm just going to, Father, we bless the offering. I bless everyone that can give. We're going to be doing some teaching on giving and what that looks like in a local house. Is it all right if we just take an offering while I talk here? Wake up, Nate. Go ahead and just receive the offering. Father, we bless it in Jesus' name. They miss you, Susie. In the prophetic word, when we prophesy, when we bring something to the front, I really want to encourage you to, what I do, because we are such a prophetic people, how many know that it's easy to prophesy in this house? Isn't it? I mean, you just about everybody in this house is prophesying over somebody in some, one way or the other. We don't use all the fancy terms like the King James and thus saith the Lord or any of those things, but nevertheless, we speak something on behalf of Holy Spirit into somebody's life. That's prophesying. That's speaking things into existence. That's forthtelling. It can be foretelling. There's a teaching that we'll do on prophecy. But how do we manage that as a body when we come together? How do we keep that freedom governed by love? You know. So I want to encourage you that as you bring words, again, I have nobody in mind. Please, I do not. This morning was such an incredible demonstration of love and honor and moving in the Spirit. There was a dance happening this morning. It was just phenomenal, and I loved it. Okay, but I want to just encourage us in the future that as we grow, that there are going to be a lot of people that want to prophesy, and we may need to just be a little bit more intentional with what we want to do. I want to encourage you. For me, I'll sin on something 4 times before I will ever deliver it publicly. You might say, well, Dave, don't you hear from the Lord? Oh, I hear from the Lord. But I got to ask, is this for me or is it for the body? I'll maybe get an answer for that, and then I have to ask, well, is it for now or is it for later? You know? And we need to be very aware that Holy Spirit is sometimes going to show you things in the Spirit where it's for a matter of prayer. I very often, during worship, I'll get something from the Lord, and I'll just start proclaiming it in worship. That's the nice thing about having a noisy worship, is nobody knows what I'm doing, you know? And because it's between me and God. As the leader of what's happening here, I know that I have an authority, and I can start to proclaim things in the Spirit. I believe 3 things about worship. I believe more than 3 things, 3 basic things. Worship must be passionate. It's got to come from down in here. It's got to be proclamatory. In other words, worship will lead to the place where we start to proclaim things that changes and shifts the atmosphere. There's a proclamation that comes from the Spirit of the Lord, and it has an oomph behind it, where you understand that I'm making this proclamation on this declaration on behalf of the Lord. And you have freedom for that. That's not always going to be done from up here, but I'll tell you what, for you to do it in your seat and to be obedient to that prompting is as important as coming up and delivering something up here. So understand that there's passion, there's proclamation, and then there's prophetic. Our entire worship this morning was prophetic. They picked out songs. People don't understand. I almost got to do a disclaimer. I never talk to the worship leader about what my message is going to be, what kind of songs they should have. I don't. I will not, because I have a higher value for trusting my worship leaders to hear from the head for themselves than I do for me dictating what a worship service should look like. Okay, that's just the way I function. Frankly, for me, it'd be an awful lot of work if I had to design a worship service too. That would pull me off of where he's got me. So that's prophetic. When they get the essence of what Holy Spirit wants to release, today it was all about the presence. Now, I didn't know it until I went and stood in the prayer room this morning, and I just got whacked. And the guys that were in there, I said, I'm preaching today. And all of a sudden, I was just lost. Really, I was lost. I was like, I don't want to go out there. I just want to stay here. I just, you know, and responsibility caused me to come out here and join you guys. But I mean, but really, you know, that's prophetic. Everything that they sang this morning was about the presence. Everything was about, we had opportunity this morning to get lost in the presence. I hope you got lost in the presence this morning. I hope that you had encounters with Jesus while you were lost in the presence. You know, I hope that your faith was built just through being lost in the presence this morning. That's prophetic. I have no confidence in my best laid plans. I just don't. People ask me, what's the vision for Living Waters? And I say, I'll let you know once I know. What's the vision for the service today? I wish I could tell you. I'm serious. I'm just serious about this stuff. I want Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit. I don't know a way for us to be edified and built up better as a body than to follow what He who knows us intimately and loves us passionately, unless we can flow into what He's doing. I guess there's some people that know how to get that beforehand. Sometimes I do. But golly, I tell you, for the most part, I got to come and lay everything on the altar when I come in the morning. I wish I could be one of these super spiritual giants that just knew the word of the Lord, and here we go. We're going to... Some people function like that. It ain't me, babe. You know? So you have a big part in what happens here, in building up the body of Christ, in building one another up. Let's stand together. Thank you for just letting me speak from my heart, as though you had any choice. Just put your hand on your heart. Father, we declare this isn't the way that we just want to do church. This is the way we want to do life. But there's a standing offer to live in your presence and to live from your presence. Holy Spirit, just move in our hearts and in our lives. Father, for many that might feel like, yeah, well, other people hear God, but I don't. Father, I pray you'd convince them that they're hearing your voice way more than they think. There's many that think they're hearing your voice, and it's just good ideas. Help us to be a people that are postured, that are positioned to live in Christ, immersed in Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We will have some prayer teams up here. There's a couple of teams that are just really ready to pray and release life. If you want to just be encouraged, you know, you don't always have to have something wrong to come up and get prayer. Sometimes you just want to, you know, they'll speak a prophetic word over you, just release something, come into agreement with you. Utilize these teams. Bless one another. There's coffee out in the lobby. Be with your week. Amen.